Welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the End of Summer Depression Pavilion here at Car Talk Plaza. Easy, Tommy. You know, now it's September, the students are back, and the Puzzler is going to be making its fall debut. We're preparing here in our fair city for the onset of the eight-month winter, which could begin any day now.
Any day, it could just plummet down into temperatures which are not fit for human habitation, and it won't come back maybe till June.
That's right. Well, in preparation, you know, we know a semper paramus. Isn't that what they say in New Jersey?
Semper paramus. Yes,
something
like they do say that.
we've been taking the Bronco and the Grisk long underwear out of the closet and setting up the sun lamps here in the studio.
Yeah,
and later this week, we're going to perform the ritual. Turning on of the heat in my brother's 63 Dodge.
Actually, we don't have to do it because it's been on all summer. I couldn't turn it off.
That's why you thought it was a great summer. Man, was it been hot this summer.
Hot, man. I do have a short piece of mail to read.
Yes, I can see
Dear
that it's short.
Tom and Ray. Notice they know who's in charge here. Tom and Ray. It doesn't say Ray and Tom, does it? Tom and Ray. I was interested. This happens to be something you discussed a few weeks ago. I was interested to hear on your show last week your response to the latest management fad, total quality management.
Yes.
While I think your approach, total quantity management, has merit, it doesn't go far enough.
Really?
By the way, this is from Charles Gaunt from Phoenix As.
Aha. Uh-huh.
My own more proactive approach, which I would like to introduce on your show, which he's doing right now, is TQP, total quality prevention.
Mm-hmm.
This is based on a simple but powerful concept. I mean, TQM is total quality management. If you don't let quality happen in the first place, you don't have to spend valuable time managing it.
That's right.
Thus freeing your resources for more important things. The beauty of the system is that thousands of managers already practice TQP without even realizing it. All TQP needs is to be systematized and marketed with its own book, seminars, and jargon. And it will immediately become the newest trend in management. This is what I hope to accomplish with my forthcoming book, Victory Secrets of Ethelred the Unready. If I should succeed in this, you may rest assured that I don't plan to rest on my laurels. I am already at work on my next breakthrough management concept, TBS. This is in such a preliminary stage of development that I can't even reveal what the initials stand for.
I have a few ideas.
I've got an idea myself. I think his TQP is TBS, don't you?
Pretty much. If you want to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Darlene. I live in Colorado, and my car is doing something really funny.
Yeah.
Okay,
we first noticed that we took a trip from Colorado to San Francisco.
Yeah.
And when it steers, it just wants to go all over the road, and the front end feels like it's really light and just doesn't want to steer properly.
Okay, what kind of a car is it?
It's a Dodge Colt.
I bet you. Huh. You went on this trip with someone else?
Yes.
Who was this someone else?
My boyfriend.
Your boyfriend. Is your boyfriend into cars a little bit?
No.
It's obvious. Is it his Colt?
No, it's my Colt.
Darlene's Colt.
But did he take some kind of responsibility for getting the car in readiness for the trip?
No, actually, I did that.
You did that. What did you do besides put air in the tires?
I can't blame it on him anymore.
No, well, no, I guess we're going to have to blame you, Darlene. Yeah, you must have had the oil changed and all that stuff.
I sure did.
You took it in for service. And you put air in the tires?
Yep.
Yeah, you did.
Mm.
And you did it with the little machine that goes ding, 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 ding.
No, that's a slot machine.
We did that, too.
You did that, too.
But I suspect you have a tire pressure gauge.
Yes, I didn't use it.
You didn't use it. You just eyeballed them, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't. Darlene, you can't eyeball it.
I remember when I was but a lad, there were a lot of hills where we lived. And I had a bicycle.
Where did you live?
San Francisco. And I had a bicycle that was difficult to pedal up these hills, as any bicycle would be. I mean, hills are tough.
Yeah.
And I thought one day, being an above-average kid, that it would be improved. In other words, the pedaling would be made easier if I had more air in the tires. So I had
and that is true.
And it is true. I had a little bicycle pump, and I pumped like crazy, but I wasn't strong enough to get enough air in those tires. I was working up a sweat, and I said, ha-ha, I will drive it down to the gas station, which is at the bottom of the hill, fill the tires up with air, and I'll be able to come up the hill
no
with
problem.
Brady's yeah. having this air in the tires.
You were dumb even as a kid, huh?
Well, I'd use the old field technique, Darlene. So I put air in the front tire, boom, ding, 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 ding. And that thing was like a rock. And then I fill up the rear tire, ding, 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 ding. And I realized that most of the weight is in the rear, so I did a few more ding-a-lings.
Extra ding-a-lings, right, because the ding-a-ling was on the seat.
And I rode away, and it was like I was on a cloud. I remember riding down the street saying, man, why don't all bicycles have 200 pounds of air in their tires? At which instant, I heard two enormous explosions, and they were the sound of my, not only the tubes, but the tires being torn apart.
Yeah.
My first reaction was, what was that? Because I thought a car had backfired, or maybe there was an armed robbery at the bank that I, you know, was about to witness. And it didn't occur to me until I went to move the pedals. And that I was the source of the explosion, because yeah. I realized immediately that the bike wouldn't move anymore. And I had blown and then I looked at them and I immediately broke into tears because I had blown. Oh, man, it was awful. And I suspect, Darlene, that you have done the same thing. That's why it bounces all over the place, and it feels like you have no control, because you don't.
Yeah, I mean, in the old days, which were long before your time, eyeballing...
not before his.
Not before my time, though. Eyeballing it sometimes worked, because when the tires really needed air, you could see that they needed air. Radial tires, however, you can't tell. I mean, a radial tire can have 7 pounds of air in it and look okay, or 40 pounds of air in it and look okay, and... who knows?
But I would suggest to you that you rectify this immediately. This is dangerous, not just because it handles badly and will stop badly in the rain and whatever, but more importantly, you could have them blow out like my Schwinn did.
Okay.
A twin Schwinn blowout.
The twin Schwinn.
How many pounds of pressure should they have?
Probably not more than 30. But I would guess if you really notice a degradation in handling to this extent, you're close to 60 or up.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
but it'd be interesting to find out how badly you screwed up.
Well, I have a tire gauge on my keychain, so... I'll
yeah, they'll throw that one away. Those are notoriously inaccurate.
Oh, okay.
Go buy a real good one. The ones that look like a little circular, like a what do they call those?
Clock.
Yeah, that's... you know, a circular gauge.
Okay.
Not one of those pencil things that pops up, because those don't work very well.
Okay.
Buy a real gauge, and you'll find out that you're off by at least a factor of two.
Okay.
Good luck, Darlene.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Happy bumping. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Bill from Sacramento, California.
How you doing?
Hi, Bill.
I'm good.
Is
good.
Sacramento still the capital?
It is.
I'm just checking.
What's up, Bill?
I've got a 1992 Mazda Navajo. My wife and I have lived in Florida ever since we had the car.
Mm-hmm.
We just moved to California 2 months ago and drove the Navajo west. Okay, so it landed here. Everything was fine. However, within about a day or two of arriving here, when we were driving around, we noticed that the steering wheel, I kid you not, was beginning to ooze sort of a black shoe polish type material, kind of a primordial black sludge type something.
Out of the steering wheel?
The steering wheel itself, from not from the material that covers it, but more from like the seam that runs around the circumference of the steering wheel.
So the steering wheel, the part of the steering wheel that you hold on to steer.
Exactly. Exactly. And
doesn't anyone screen these calls?
No.
The only theory my wife and I have been able to come up with is that the car is trying to send us some sort of message about moving to California without consulting it first. We can't figure it out.
Yeah.
Oh, Bill.
What was that movie with Bill Murray and those guys with the oozing
Ghostbusters.
Stuff? Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Ectoplasm.
Ectoplasm. That's it, man.
Black ectoplasm.
And this is the only piece of the interior that has done this?
Yes.
And can you pinpoint the actual spot from which it's oozing?
No. When we drive around, you know, what I tend to do is try to find an area that's clean and try to hang on to that. It's kind of the safe zone, so to speak. But then when you have to make a turn, you know, you're gripping different parts of the wheel and you end up getting this black stuff all over your hands.
And does it remove easily or is it?
Kind of. It has the consistency of black shoe polish. Kind of cakey, you know, leaves sort of a light black stain on your hands.
Oh,
does it seem to be producing more of it than there is steering wheel?
No.
just curious. They might have some kind of perpetual motion machine here. Like,
yeah, Wolfgang was working on that.
Yeah, I mean, you might have 10 steering wheels worth of ooze. Hey, what's going on? I don't
make
know.
A
but
new steering wheel.
It's obviously going to be, I mean, what the steering wheel consists of is a foam rubber sheathing around a metal ring. You know, if you were to scrape off that grip, the plastic grip of your steering wheel, there's a metal ring under there.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Which is the real steering wheel.
Yeah.
And this is, I think the stuff is just, why it's doing it, I don't know.
Wait,
but
are you leading up to an answer or are you just babbling to kill time?
Just babbling to kill time.
I
the stuff is breaking down for some reason.
It's breaking, yeah, well, he knew that.
Well, he needs to buy a new steering wheel.
Is that it?
Well, you could wrap the entire steering wheel with friction tape. It's the kind of tape you used to put on your hockey stick. Not to be confused with electrical tape.
No. Electrical tape is just as
bad. It's for cuts and bruises.
and it's sticky.
And it's sticky.
On both sides.
Okay. Oh, yeah. We'll give it a try.
I mean, you could do that. I mean, you could replace the steering wheel.
Well, the steering wheel's not cheap because the airbag's in there.
Right. I was trying to avoid having to do that.
Yeah. I mean, you could buy a steering wheel cover. And remember those? And I'm sure that auto parts stores still have them. And they wrap around the steering wheel. My MG happens to have one.
Okay.
They wrap around the steering wheel, and they got this cute little, whatever that little junk is that you used to make bracelets out of when you were at camp. Were you
at
camp?
Gimp.
Gimp, that's it. And you were just wrapping around the steering wheel. You might have to resort to something like that. I have no idea why it's happening now. I'm trying to relate it to the
move. The other option is you can buy a box of exam gloves.
Huh? Yeah. Oh, you can just steal them. Go and get a doctor's appointment when he's not in the room.
Oh, when they put you in the room, they say, wait here.
Wait here.
You stuff in your pocket.
That's what Kramer did.
That's the best idea yet.
Oh, Bill.
That's all right. I'm all right. I feel a lot better now.
That works. We'll do that.
All right.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I guess we should have also suggested that you go to the dealer and ask them if they know anything about this strange
phenomenon. Oh, that
phenomenon.
Wouldn't be sporting, for goodness sake. We could always go to the dealer.
You can?
Yeah, 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Marcia calling from San Rafael, California.
San Rafael, yes.
Yes.
What's San Rafael? We've had a lot of calls from San Rafael. What's it like?
It's nice here. It's beautiful. We're just north of San Francisco.
Why do they say Rafael? I mean, come on.
Well, Raphael.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is Raphael. What does San Rafael?
I guess it's easier.
Well, I get the sense that it's some language that we don't know.
Yes.
It might be San Rafael. That's how you say it in Bulgarian. Although I have problems with that.
I'll see you at the town council meeting on this discussion, huh?
Yeah. So renaming the town.
So what's up?
I bought a new to me used vehicle. Yeah. It's a Toyota Previa. And what's nice about it is when you pop the hood, instead of having to do the dipstick thing to check all your fluids, there's all these little reservoir containers in the front of the car under the hood.
Yeah, you know why they were able to do that?
It's fabulous. Why?
Because there's no engine there.
There's no stinking engine there. Try working on the engine.
Well, I got under my hood, and I lifted off all the caps to all the reservoirs, and I accidentally put the oil in the coolant.
Oh.
Bummer.
Oh, not the end of the world.
Oh, thank goodness.
It's the end of the Previa, though.
At the end of the...
Oh, well.
It's better than the end of the world.
Oh.
No, it's not the most horrible thing you could have done. You could have done worse than that.
Yeah, you could have put the coolant in the oil. That would have been bad.
How much did you put in?
Maybe half a quart till I realized I did it wrong.
And have you driven it?
What I did was, well, I work here at the boatyard, and all the guys were like, oh, my God, what are you doing, right? So I disconnected the hoses that are to the container, and I let it all drain out.
Brilliant.
And then I just filled it with water. I didn't start the engine.
Right. No, you're in luck.
You didn't start the engine. You did the good thing. And so what you did was you just let it pour out onto the ground.
Yes, but I am unsure.
Shame on you.
On the ground. Ooh, and I'm in California. That could be trouble, right?
California? They're going to drop a giant sequoia on you, baby.
I'm in trouble now. Okay.
So
what should I do?
Well, here's what you could do.
Yeah?
You could take that plastic reservoir right out. It unscrews.
Oh, take the whole thing
out. It comes
out. And wash it. And rinse it out thoroughly. And you'll have gotten all the oil out of there.
And just put it back
stick
and forget
it back
about
in, hook the hoses up, and pour a half a gallon of antifreeze in and drive the car.
Ah.
Or do nothing.
Just top it off with coolant?
The small amount of oil that's in there is not going to interfere with the cooling. And don't forget, there is lubricant in the antifreeze anyway to lubricate the water pump.
Okay, so I didn't ruin my car.
You didn't.
Nah.
Not yet.
And tell those guys that are telling you did a horrible thing to back off.
All right.
And tell them that you washed it all out with soap.
Okay, but do you still want me to do that?
No, only if you want to.
Only if you got nothing better to do, Marcia.
I have nothing better to do.
Wash it out with soap. It's going to gnaw away at you.
It will.
It will drive you.
I know it will.
I can tell by talking to you that it's going to drive you nuts.
Yeah.
It's already driving you nuts.
Yes, it is. Yeah. That's why I called you.
Yeah.
Now you're driving.
If we had both agreed that she could just leave it alone, she would have slept like a baby tonight. But the fact that we disagreed is making her tense now.
No, I had
to. Am
I going to break
the thing? I'll get my tools out and take it out.
I had to tell her what was in my heart.
Thank you.
Since when?
I appreciate that. I do. I really do.
I adopted a new philosophy. If it isn't broke, fix it. See ya, Marcia.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, look, it's time to take a short break.
This is where we allow our stations to identify themselves.
No, this is where we allow our stations to check the programming menu again and see if there's anything better they can put on in this salon. We'll be back in a minute, we hope.
Chrome everywhere, you can shave every hair on your face. Back seat as big as my living room couch, lots of space. White walls that glow like a harvest moon on a cool fall night. Radios are playing all my favorite tunes. Feeling fine. People look at me with that frown. Sometimes they call me the man about town. Riding in my car.
And even though pioneers heading west in their covered wagons turn north toward Canada whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the Puzzler preseason.
Mm.
This was a brilliant idea. I stole this from the NFL. Why jump right in with the fall Puzzler season? Why not work up to it with a Puzzler preseason?
Yeah.
In fact, the pregame show is on ESPN right now. You know what ESPN stands for?
Yeah, embark on some puzzlers, nitwit.
Well, we'll have the first Puzzler later on in today's show. In the meantime, we'll take your calls at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hike. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Rick from Birmingham, Michigan.
Hi, Rick.
Hello, really enjoy your show, and it's always look forward to listening to it.
Thanks.
Also, you might want to know that you're also being listened to in Kazakhstan. I sent a copy of your show to some friends of mine out there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you're
Is that also in Michigan?
A little farther away.
A little further east, yeah. So what's happening, Rick?
Okay, we've got a 94 Grand Am. We bought it about 4 years ago. We know the previous owner, my brother-in-law, and he took really good care of it. About a year and a half ago, we've been having some trouble. We'd go out to start the car, and it wouldn't start. So we had it towed to the shop, and they looked at it. Once it got there, though, it started running okay. It started right up. And they thought it might have been the ignition, so they replaced the ignition switch.
And when you say it wouldn't start, what did it do?
Well,
nothing.
Well, you hear a little click.
Ah.
And then nothing.
Oh, you did hear a click.
Right.
And they replaced the ignition switch.
Yep.
They're bozos.
Yep. Well, apparently.
We know that right away. That's good to know. It's good to know that whatever they did is wrong.
We've replaced a few ignition switches.
Not if you hear a click.
What happened, a week later, it wouldn't start again. So we had it towed to the same place, and this time they replaced the starter. They thought maybe one of the windings wasn't connecting or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so about a week later, the same thing happened again.
I'm making a list here, Rick. I only have one sheet of paper. Should I run out and get another one?
No, just okay. So we took it back again. They thought, then this time they said the starter was bad, so they replaced the starter again. Well,
let me guess.
What?
It didn't work.
I mean, were they ever able to actually reproduce?
No, we stopped going to them. And actually, we figured out a temporary fix on our own.
Ah.
Okay.
I know what it is.
What?
You get out, you open the hood, you slam the hood shut, you get back in the car and it starts.
There you go. Actually, we open the door and rock it back and forth. I don't believe it. That's exactly what we've been doing for the last year and a half.
You rock it back and forth.
We rock it and then get in it, shut the door, starts right up every time.
I only said that because that's what I do with my computer. I shut it down, I start it up again, and it works.
Sometimes.
Well, that's exactly what happens, and we're just wondering if there's some more permanent solution.
Of course there is.
Sure.
Well, my first instinct here says that it's the ignition switch. Have they done that?
Well, interestingly, my 1952 MG does the same thing.
Really?
Yeah.
And so you still just get out and...
That's what I do.
He gets out, opens the hood, shuts it, and then walks to the bus stop.
Well, you've been doing that for how long now?
Well, it's a classic old problem. The gears of the starter would jam against the gears of the flywheel.
Okay.
And
when you hear this click, is it more like a... thunk? I mean, is it heavy? It's a very subtle click.
Yeah, it's like a little electrical circuit, like a contact.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's what Tommy's thinking it
well,
is.
Well, I don't think so either, because what you would hear is a much heavier thunk.
Right, I don't think it's a starter trying to engage.
No, but by putting it leaving it in park and rocking the car back and forth, you will get the wheels to turn a little bit, which will turn the axles.
Oh, that's right, actually.
And will perhaps change the orientation of things such that the neutral safety switch, which is what's wrong with your car, would then close the contacts and allow the car to start. And what the neutral safety switch is an inhibitor switch preventing you from starting the car unless it's in park or neutral.
Okay.
And you might accomplish the same thing by taking it out of park and putting it in neutral, holding the key to the crank position and moving the shifter around the neutral position, either move it closer to reverse or closer to drive. And at one point, if you hold the key to crank and you get that shifter in just the right spot, bang, the thing will start up.
Oh, okay.
And that will tell you almost for certain that it's a neutral safety switch.
Now, does that need to be replaced or just adjusted?
No, it can be replaced rather cheaply, or you can live with it like this. I mean, it's a 94. How much longer can it last?
Yeah.
See you, Rick. Good luck.
Okay, well, thanks so much.
Thanks for your call.
Okay.
Hey, do you know what it's time for?
Time to feng shui the customer waiting room again?
No, it's time to play Stump the Chumps! Once again, we have invited one of our past callers back onto the show to make us look like either conquering heroes or abject morons.
Why do I know which way this is going to go? So who's this week's chump stumper?
Well, I got the notes here. It's Ellen from New York City. Ellen called us a few months ago hoping we could help stop her fiancé from spending their life savings on performance-enhancing upgrades for their Chevy Blazer.
Oh, I remember. You mean stuff like dual exhaust, headers, high-performance computer PROMs, all that stuff?
Yes, I remember Ellen very, very well.
You do?
No, but this is a dream sequence. You dumb. Tells you about it. Does he grunt a lot? Eleanor.
Right, and he just sits around and he reads the truck magazines and then looks in the back and calls all the places in California to purchase these things.
You're marrying this guy?
I'm nervous about it.
You should be. Nervous about it? You should be more than nervous about it. You should be on a plane.
Well, I think he needs to be stopped. And I was hoping that you could, do some intervention to prove to him that these things really don't help the car. Or do they? And if they do, please tell me.
Well, that's not even the question. It doesn't matter whether they help the car or they don't help the car. What matters is that he's interested in this. Well, I mean, this guy has got serious problems.
Well, he's interested in cars. I mean, I could respect that. You're interested in cars.
Not really.
Really not.
No, we're interested in people. Cars just happen to be a vehicle.
A vehicle for talking to people. Now, if I remember, Ellen was actually a pretty good sport about all this stuff.
That's right. She tried to approach her fiancé's testosterone poisoning with an open mind.
And we told her, hang tough. And in time, he would either move on to boar hunting.
Or she would learn to love going to the monster truck rallies every Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Oh, that poor woman. Ellen, are you there?
I am.
My God. Before we find out if you even went ahead and married this guy, we have to come and Mirandize you.
Okay.
Right. Okay, now, Ellen, is it true that we have not spoken since our initial conversation some months ago?
Yes.
Is it also true that you have been offered no cash or prizes or free passes to any monster truck rallies from anyone on our staff or at NPR in exchange for a favorable response here today on Stump the Chumps?
It's true.
Would you like some free passes to this weekend's monster truck rally?
All right, Ellen. I mean, I don't even remember what we really said to you, but...
You told me to embrace his hobby.
Yeah, I think that was my recommendation, if
right.
I'm not mistaken.
But what we want to know is, did you marry him or did you dump him and did you force him to live on the streets of New York in the blazer?
No, I'm a newlywed. We were married 2 months ago.
No kidding! Really?
So you've married him since we've spoken to you.
Yes.
Against our advice.
And is he still, like, fixing up this blazer?
Oh, yes.
He is.
I hate to ask personal questions, but you would think he would have put things on hold for at least a few nights anyway.
Did he bring the truck on the honeymoon?
Not exactly, but, however...
Did he bring the catalogs?
The magazines. He brought the magazines.
He brought the magazines, and when we had to go rent a car, we spent 2 hours picking out the perfect car to rent.
Well, I can understand
that. Yeah, I could almost understand that, too.
But 2 hours? That's cutting into serious honeymoon time.
It certainly is.
Yeah, but you got a whole lifetime to honeymoon.
Well.
No, you don't. You got 3 nights. So, have you embraced his...
I tried to. That's why I didn't say anything at the car rental. Now the problem has... escalated, though.
Oh.
Because we're back in New York, and we're back, you know, from the honeymoon. And he now, I guess the honeymoon's over because at night he stays up and he's on the internet looking for high performance parts on the internet.
Damn internet.
Jeez,
and,
Ellen.
And you know, and I have to get up early for work, so it's definitely infringing upon
his honeymoon time.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
well, we know what you're saying.
We certainly do, and we feel to some extent responsible for getting you involved. Maybe you should have put your foot down right away.
I should have.
And maybe we shouldn't have suggested you embrace. Whose stupid idea was it?
Well, I have to say it wasn't mine. And I'm shocked at that. It was my brother who told you to embrace it. I think it's hopeless.
It is hopeless.
I think you have stumped the chumps. I think we gave you the bum advice. I think you should have dumped them when they had a chance. Did you get him to sign a prenup?
No.
Well, what would be the essence of it? Three magazines a week?
Yeah, well, whatever.
Can you give me, I can't believe I'm asking you this, but maybe you can give me some advice to, help me get on into my...
Yes, yeah. I have the perfect advice.
Have we ever seen each other before?
Hardly,
we discussed this?
Hardly ever.
I know, I'm going to write down what you're going to say. Here, I'm going to write down my brother's answer. Right,
Ellen, you need... a time-consuming hobby of your own, something that is so, like another guy, maybe. No, you need something that absorbs your energy so much,
really,
that he will feel your pain. He will feel your neglect.
Oh, that's very good.
You need something of your own.
You took the psychological approach. It's more complex than what did I write?
Victoria's Secret catalog.
I figured that would do it.
You could try that too while he's sitting at the computer.
Okay.
You could try wearing some of those outfits.
Oh, I'll try.
Yeah.
Well,
he could try wearing them even. You never know. We will be calling you again because we feel to some extent He's not legally responsible, you understand, because our lawyers advise us against using that phraseology.
We shouldn't even use responsible. We're just curious.
Interested. We are curious about your condition here.
Well, yeah. the one thing that does bring us together is we bond when we listen to your show on the weekend.
Oh, that's
so. In a way,
good.
You know, you can compensate for. So you're pulling us apart. You bring us back together.
While you're listening to us, you're holding hands and going shmoopy.
Yeah,
I love you.
Yeah.
Yeah. We will be checking up on you on a regular basis because we feel that we have a bond with you now.
We certainly do.
And we want to make sure that everything's all right between you and whatever his name is.
Oh, his name's Bruce.
It is Bruce. I just guessed it was Bruce. All right, Ellen.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot.
Well, thanks so much.
See you.
Bye-bye. She is a hot ticket. She's
a great gal. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi there, I'm Maggie Morris from Bloomington, Minnesota.
Gee, for a moment.
Yeah.
For a moment.
Me too.
For a moment, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up because you sounded just like Melissa Peterson.
Sorry about that.
No apology necessary.
But Maggie is older than Melissa.
A little older.
Yeah.
A little older, but you have that teenage voice.
Well, thank you.
But you're not a teenager, are you?
No, I'm 30.
30?
30.
Well, young at heart. And yeah, where are you from?
Bloomington, Minnesota.
Oh, Bloomington.
Yes.
Yeah. So
one
what's
of
up?
The many Bloomingtons.
There are many.
I have an 88 Nissan Sentra. And a couple months ago, I noticed I was coming home from school. I'd been driving maybe 15 minutes. And my heat and gas gauge had stopped working. So I thought it was a fuse blown or something. But the next time I got in my car, they worked.
Mm.
And nothing happened for a couple weeks. And then I looked down and I realized they weren't working again.
Mm-hmm.
But my speedometer works and the dash light works. And since then, it's happened maybe a dozen times.
And only the heat?
Only the heat.
The temperature gauge. The temperature gauge and the gas gauge.
And there's a weird part to this.
Yeah, what?
With one exception, every time it happens, and I'm serious, every time it happens, it seems that I'm passing the Mall of America.
Whoa.
It's very bizarre.
Oh, of course it has to do with electromagnetic radiation coming from those neon lights at the mall. I don't think we realize as Americans the danger to which we're exposed. This will get all the lunatics to write to us.
Yeah.
Daily by electromagnetic radiation of one kind. It's bad enough that we're being bombarded by the sun.
Yeah.
Every minute of our existence.
Yeah.
But to further endanger ourselves by having invented all of these devices which emanate all kinds of electromagnetic radiation from television sets to cellular phones to neon lights, electric light bulbs.
And it's interesting. I mean, it didn't have to be this way. I mean, it was just a little twist of fate, and there could have been no electromagnetic radiation in the world.
Sure, the Luddites could have won out.
Exactly, and then none of this could have happened. I mean, we could have found other ways to light. We could have found other ways to communicate.
Sure.
And
right, bioluminescence.
Who knows what would have happened? So the Mall of America is at fault here.
Oh, it is.
No, I doubt it. I suspect you have a bad connection in your instrument cluster. The reason the speedometer and the odometer don't conk out is they are not electric. They are mechanical.
Oh.
Okay. And the gas gauge and the temperature gauge are the only two gauges on your dashboard that are electrical.
Okay.
In fact, they're the only two gauges on your dashboard, period. And you must have either a bad connection or a bad ground somewhere, and that's causing the circuit to open up and the gauges to fall to zero.
And it could even be a bad fuse, except that a fuse would have other things on it, probably.
Okay.
But if you look in your owner's manual and see which fuses go to the instrument cluster, it's possible that you have a cracked fuse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which would
sometimes
work sometimes and sometimes not.
But the two gauges are not the only thing on the fuse. There'd be something else, like your dome light or something, but you wouldn't know if that were malfunctioning.
No, because the door is closed.
Because the door is closed. So,
hopefully.
So take that fuse out and put a new one in.
Okay.
And if that doesn't fix it, then you're going to have someone take the dashboard apart.
Well, great.
And don't worry about it. It's only a gas gauge.
Yeah, I'll forget about it.
Yeah.
If they want more than $20 to fix it, tell them you don't need a gas gauge.
All right.
You use your odometer. We know that works. See you, Maggie.
Thanks so much.
Thanks
Good
for the call. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
All right, look, it's time for us to take a short break. And when we come back, We will have
The
opening puzzler of the new fall puzzler season.
Wow! Can I throw out the first ball, man?
Yeah, sure. We'll be back in a minute.
Gotta be to work by 8:45. Gotta leave at 6:30 just to be on time. My house and my job's only 20 miles apart, but the traffic's so bad I gotta get a head start. I'm living on the highway. I'm going old on the road. Working 14 hours, getting paid for 8. The other 6 spent sitting on the interstate, living on the highway.
And even though bears put another X through their days until hibernation calendar, whenever we say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler.
Da, 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 da. How long has this been on?
Da, 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 da. Well, you know,
if you think you know the answer.
Yeah, the address is Puzzler Tower, Carton Plaza. Well, that was a good one, wasn't it?
What are your best?
Historic. And what, for, you missed it? Well, you'll have to tune in next week for the answer.
In short.
Well, you know, I had all summer to work on this one puzzler. I mean, when the puzzle went on vacation, the idea was that it would begin with its, you know, with its hiatus. They're working on the new puzzler for the fall preseason.
It's the whole idea.
It's the whole idea. And I had hoped it would have been better than this, but this is as good as it gets, evidently. And if this is as good as it gets, imagine what next week's puzzle is.
But don't forget, this
like.
Is a preseason.
Preseason,
puzzle.
So the scrubs are in there.
The scrubs are in there. Just it's a throwaway.
All right, here it is.
You just throw it away.
It's historic, folkloric, and probably mostly made up, but it has some merit, I think, anyway. It was a dark and stormy night. The location is a secret airfield somewhere in England during World War II. The RAF had summoned one of England's most noted mathematicians to help them solve a problem. He remained nameless because I don't know his name.
He may not have had one.
He may not. This may be completely bogus. They were having a problem because they were attempting to bomb Germany. And because of German anti-aircraft fire based on the ground, the English were suffering tremendous losses, and their planes would get shot down. Mm-hmm. And they realized, the RAF realized, that they had to do something. They certainly had to do something to diminish their losses. And they summoned this mathematician to help them. Now, clearly, they could put armor plating on the bottoms of the fuselages and the wings, and that would solve the problem.
Except the planes wouldn't fly.
There were a few problems
that would become cars.
Resulted from this.
Number
one,
wide
they would have to be ground-based planes. Number two, their range would be severely diminished.
Yeah.
Their ability to carry cargo, i.e. bombs, would be diminished.
Yeah.
Their range would be diminished. So they summon this mathematician, and he crawls around underneath the planes and looks at where the bullet holes are. I mean, there are bullet holes all over the place on these planes, in the wings, in the fuselage, and seemingly distributed randomly on the undersides of these planes. Mm-hmm. He studies them, perhaps hundreds of planes, and then he makes his recommendation. The question very simply is, what armor plating, if any, did he recommend putting on these planes, and why? You got the picture?
Why? How would we know?
That's the question. How would you know? I've given you scant few facts. But
yeah, okay. I like it.
So you got the
historic,
facts.
Historic, folkloric, challenging.
Yes.
What are the other categories?
Complete B. No.
And a dark and stormy night.
A dark and stormy night.
Yeah.
So here he is lying under these planes looking at their underbellies.
And finally he says,
and making sketches.
Yeah.
Taking photographs.
Yeah.
Studies hundreds of planes that have returned from these missions.
Yeah.
Riddled with bullet holes.
Yeah.
And he says,
I've got it.
I know what to do.
Yeah.
So if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill. We haven't done that for a while.
No.
I mean, our 401ks are really...
I think we should have to reinstitute that policy.
We have to reinstitute. Yeah,
if you would like to enter the Puzzler contest, write your answer on the back of a $20 bill.
And send it to us at Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt02238. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But if you have a question that can't wait...
Yeah.
You can call us at 888-CAR-TALK, and we'll try to help. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Rob calling from Indiana.
Hey, Rob. What's cooking, man?
Not much. I've got a mystery I hope you guys can help me solve.
We'll do our level best.
All right. I've got a 1996 Mercury Sable, and it's got about 120,000 miles on it. I just got it from my dad. He gave it to me.
Yeah.
And I took it back from North Carolina to Indiana, and when I got back, the car was dripping some strange fluid from the exhaust. It wasn't coming out of the tailpipe. It was actually coming out of both of the mufflers in the back, and it was dripping this kind of sludgy stuff that dried up and looks like a white granule substance, and I have no idea what it is. And it's done that several times.
A white granular substance.
Yeah, once it dries up, it comes out looking kind of greenish brown, but then once it dries up, it kind of calcifies right there on my garage floor. I'm looking at it, I'm like, what the heck is this stuff?
I don't understand where it's coming from. You said it's not coming out the tailpipe?
No, it's coming out one of the welds from from both the exhausts.
Yeah, it's coming out of one of the seams or something. Each muffler has something called a weep hole.
Yeah.
And there's a little weep hole designed to let water escape. I mean, mufflers rot out because water gets trapped in them.
Okay.
Okay, so it may be that whatever is dripping out is reacting with the concrete of your garage floor.
Okay.
So
okay.
It may be that it's just water.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what else would be in that water besides some acid, maybe?
Okay, because I'm getting paranoid about parking in my friend's driveway.
I mean, the car runs all right?
It runs pretty good. I mean, it's got a little bit of a hiccup on the, like a hitch. I mean, it idles pretty good, but every, 6 or 7 seconds, it feels like it misses. But other than that, it seems to do fine.
Huh. Okay, here's what you're going to have to do. The spot where the leak is, or the spot, is predictable.
Okay.
You have to put something under there, right, to catch it.
You're going
to
catch it.
Right. And something that maybe...
And mail it to us.
Yeah.
But COD, right?
Ideally, you would catch it. Are you married?
I am, yeah.
Good. Your wife must have a Pyrex baking dish.
Yeah, she'll love that.
Well, I mean, you're going to catch it in something like glass, because if you put it in something metal, it may corrode that, and it may taint the evidence here.
Okay.
So if you use Pyrex, you'll be safe, and then you'll get to find out that it's probably just water with a little bit of acid in it.
So it's nothing to worry about.
Well, we don't know.
I don't think so. I mean, the next step, of course,
can't think of what else it could be that would be coming out the muffler.
Uh-huh. It's entirely possible that what else is in there are some, other ingredients that are in the gasoline too and in the oil. So there might be some acid mixed in with that water.
Okay.
So I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not sure I'd taste it, but maybe you can get a friend to taste it.
Right.
Yeah. You don't have a younger brother, do you?
I could find
him. All right. Good luck. But I wouldn't be worried about it.
Okay.
If it doesn't react with the Pyrex. But then the question will be, how do you sneak the Pyrex dish back into the house? You're on your own on that one.
Yeah, all right.
Good luck, Rob.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Cynthia.
Hi, Cynthia. What's up?
I'm calling from Sebastopol, California.
Yes.
And I have a story I thought you two would be interested in because you're brothers.
Okay.
Yeah, we are.
Okay. It has to do with my two brothers, who I still don't want to use their names because they're still feuding at this point.
Let's call them Tom and Ray, just as aliases for the moment.
Well, who's older, first of all?
Ray. Tom.
Ray is older. Yeah. Are you sure about that? Okay, well, Ray's the older one.
Okay.
Ray graduated from high school in 68, and my father bought him a 68 Camaro, brand new, with, a convertible, a real hot car, and so he loved it. And then my sister graduated 3 years later, and she got a brand new Camaro. And then my other brother, Tom, graduated 2 years after that, and he didn't get a car. So Ray, being the nice guy that he is, he felt bad for Tom, and he said, I will give you... this Camaro.
This 65 Ambassador convertible. No, I'm sorry.
No, he says, I'll give you this Camaro under one condition, that you keep it in the family and you never sell it because it means a lot to me. So Tom said, okay, fine, you know, I'll do that. So he's kept it all of these years, and he's kept it up in the garage in the winter because he lives back east. And he's, you know, put a brand new engine in it, rebuilt the whole inside and everything. I mean, it's in mint condition, and of course it's worth a lot of money now.
And now the evil older brother wants it back.
No. Well, I keep getting who's who confused, but the younger brother,
Tom, he bought
a $50,000 horse, and he needed some cash, so he wants to sell the car.
$50,000 horse?
A horse, $50,000 horse.
Yeah.
And so Ray says, sorry, I told you, you know, 25 years ago that you can't sell it, but legally it really is Tom's car. But ethically and morally, I just wanted to know if this happened between you two guys. What you would do.
If it happened between us two guys, are you kidding? I mean, it's almost exactly the same story.
Parallel. Here's the story. We'll get to your story in a minute, Cynthia. But here's the story as I see it.
Yes.
My brother had this 65 Rambler that didn't run anymore.
Uh-huh.
Barely ran.
Talking about ran like a dream. Isn't it interesting how people's perceptions are different?
Right.
Yeah.
It ran on 3 cylinders out of 8. The rust was up to the windows. There were holes in the roof. And he asked me, he said, can I park this in your driveway for like, I don't know, 8-10 years and until I get around to restoring it? And I said, in a moment of weakness, sure, Tommy. And then one day I came to my senses and I realized that he was never going to restore this heap because he had already bought another heap to replace it.
At one point, I had a 56 Chevy, a 65 Ambassador, and a 58 Mercedes that didn't run, of course, and had no doors. But it was a Mercedes.
Right, and the only reason he didn't ask me to store that one...
And a motorcycle!
Is he had tucked that one up at my sister's house.
And a motorcycle. Don't leave the motorcycle.
So he managed to sprinkle around jalopies kind of all over the greater Boston area. And God knows how many friends he imposed on. He has all these friends that don't speak to him anymore. Now I know why.
My moped was at Shelley's house.
Yeah.
She got that stolen.
So I can understand how your brother feels. He has this thing in his possession now. He is free to do with it as he pleases. What possible...
Well, the situation is not quite parallel. He gave the car to his brother.
He didn't give him the car.
Well, you can't give a car to somebody with restrictions. Either you're giving it to him or you're not giving it to him.
The definition of a gift is it is unconditional.
Exactly.
You sound like my brothers right now.
Well, that's why you called us, isn't it?
No, a gift is absolutely unconditional.
I knew you'd have fun with this.
You can't say, I'm giving you this gift, but. No, that becomes a loan.
Why did he give it to him then if he wanted it?
He's very sentimental. I mean, he'd put this car in his living room if he could, but he can't afford to buy it, and he has no place to store it, so he really has no control.
Your older brother is out of luck.
Yeah, what do you estimate the actual cash value of this car to be?
I think it's about $10,000.
About $10,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't give you
$10,000. Why did he want to buy a horse anyway? You know how many pony rides he's going to have to give to get back that $50,000?
He's going to breed it, so it'll be worth more, I guess, eventually, what he can get out of it.
Oh, I see.
I know.
So this is a racehorse.
I mean, what good is this car doing your older brother, who lives 3,000 miles away from the car?
No, he doesn't know. They're both on the East Coast.
Oh, they're both on the...
They live about 120 miles from each other.
So does the older brother, Ray, does he once in a while...
I've got the solution.
He never visits it. He's just being difficult.
He's just being difficult. But the younger brother has the car in his possession,
yes. And
he should, of course, sell it. The title is in his name.
Everything.
He should sell it.
Yeah,
when the other brother asks about it, he should say, it's in the body shop. Right?
Yeah.
I'd be happy to see it, but
Bugsy Lawler's been telling us that for 2 years
now.
Right,
Bugsy Lawler keeps telling us he has a Corvette.
No one's ever seen it.
We ask him for a ride, he says, you know, as luck would have it, it's in the body shop this year.
This year, right.
That's great. I have to pass that advice.
So this car could certainly spend eternity in the body shop, just like Bugsy's car. And your older evil older brother will never know.
I mean, another solution is that your wonderful, sweet younger brother Tom could go out and buy an old heap Camaro.
Uh huh.
Take it to Maaco for $100. They'll paint it.
Yep.
Throw it in the garage.
Oh.
And sell the original. This is like the cubic zirconium trick, right?
That's true, because if he never put anything into it,
he never put anything into it. He should have a car that's in the same shape.
Yeah.
Don't forget, your younger brother put all the money into restoring it. If he hadn't restored it, it would be a heap, just like all my cars were.
R.
So you have no pity at all for Ray, huh?
No.
No.
None of you.
None whatsoever. No.
No, because he gave it to him. If he had entrusted it to him, that would, as I did to my brother, I entrusted my car to my brother.
No, that's,
I left it in his care.
That's not the word that comes to mind. Foisted is the word that comes to mind.
No, I think Tom should go out and buy an old beat up Camaro in the shape that it would be in had he not invested all the money in it. Sell the one he's got for the 10 grand, buy the damn horse, whatever he wants to buy a horse for, who knows. He's got to be a little wacko, too.
Well, wait a minute. The real villain in this is your father. Why didn't he buy Tom a car?
Well, I was waiting for that. I don't know. I think his finances weren't quite...
He should have had a more diversified portfolio.
Has he heard of the Click and Clack Capital Depreciation Fund?
Obviously he has.
Ask me what I got for my graduation 4 years after that.
You got nothing.
I got a pair of contacts.
Soft? Well, Cynthia, I hope they resolve this amicably.
I do, too.
I hope they can take a joke. See you later.
Thanks very much.
A pleasure talking to you.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye. Well, you've done it again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor. Just back from the Miami-Dade Sushi Grade Tuna Filet Roomalade Minute Maid Marmalade and Gatorade Promenade is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our ranch foreman is Hyman Old Cowhand. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian, all been heard before. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Payne Diaz, and her little dog, Toto Payne Diaz. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to all his deputy assistant bums in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1437, download classic Car Talk episodes, and check out the overpriced Car Talk t-shirts and CD collections over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, you can help each other with car questions.
Yeah, there are some great discussion forums at cartalk.com where mechanics, far more knowledgeable than us, lurk. And if you have a real car question and post it there, you can even get a right answer.
That's more than we can offer you.
Much more. Make use of the Car Talk community forums. They're busy all the time over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though NPR's marching band forms a huge SOS at the 50-yard line whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.